So our first speaker to do what we call devotions. We're applicable around here is David Hocking, and let's see, what are you famous for? Causing trouble?
Being your associate.
Oh, okay, yes. And David Hocking, you know, has been a well-known pastor and has a fairly large radio program, and he's been in the ministry for 60 years or something like that.
More than that,
yeah.
Be 60 soon.
Yes. So that means he's an old fossil. But I always thought he was our Christian John Wayne. He hates when I do that, but he reminds me a little. Yeah, he's from Southern California, and he's got kind of... although, I think some of those John Wayne things are fading here in the last few years.
Can we move on?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
That was quite a day yesterday. Amen? I tell you, I went to bed last night with sweet dreams of what we heard. And my goodness, how can they top it? But it looks like it's going to be another great day. We praise the Lord for that. My subject is Shofar and the Nation of Israel. We read our English Bibles and we see the word trumpet over and over again. Well, I played the trumpet a long time ago, and what I played was not known in the Old Testament, that's for sure. We're talking about the shofar. Let me just tell you a little background. Jewish worship centers around seven festivals, as you most of you know, listed in Leviticus 23. In verse 2 of that chapter, they are called Feasts of the Lord and Holy Convocations, to be honored as one would honor the Shabbat. Manual labor is not to be done. These special celebrations are set aside for the worship of our Lord and the celebration of His promised Messiah. The fall festivals occur in the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, Tishri. The Shabbat is the seventh day of the week. The sabbatical year is the seventh year. The year of Jubilee is celebrated after seven sabbatical years. The number seven is obviously a religious number to the people of Israel, and it emphasizes the celebration of God's character and the worship of Him alone. The Feast of Trumpets, which begins the fall festivals, occurs on the first day of the Jewish month of Tishri. It's known to Jewish people as Rosh Hashanah, which, as you know, means the first of the year. While the civil year begins on that day, it's actually the seventh month of the Jewish religious year. For 10 days, the Jews will call them High Holy Days, or Days of Awe. It's customary for Jewish people to dress in white as a sign of humility and the need of cleansing. Isaiah 1:18 is the featured text on that day. Come unto me, come now, and let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Feast of Rosh Hashanah is also known as the Feast of Trumpets, and it involves the blowing of what's called the shofar. Jewish people know three things about the shofar. Number one, its source. It's a ram's horn, not a cow. The truth is that any connection with the worship of the golden calf would be quite inappropriate. Secondly, what we would call its simplicity. It must be carved, but never painted or decorated. I've been in a lot of church assemblies that had a shofar displayed, and they were pretty fancy. But that would be inappropriate in calling us all to repentance, the major theme of this celebration. A third thing would be its shape. Whether you know it or not, it must be bent or curved, a reminder of our need of brokenness, humility, and contrition of heart. In Psalm 51:17, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Well, in this short, abbreviated teaching session of our devotionals responses, I want to give you just seven things, if you want to take notes, what the shofar teaches us. And you may want to buy one and blow it every now and then to know that you have understood it. Number one, it teaches us that it's a revelation that judgment is coming. An example, and there are many, in the minor prophets especially, would be Joel 2:1. "Blow ye the shofar, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain, says the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble." Why? "For the day of the Lord cometh, and it is nigh at hand." Every time in a messianic fellowship I hear that shofar blown, I think of this passage. The day of the Lord is at hand. Paul warned the church at Thessalonica in chapter 5 of his first epistle. He warned them, "You yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, in which they will say, peace and safety. But then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child." There are many passages. Ezekiel 33 is a lengthy one and excellent. Amos chapter 3 verse 6 also says, "Shall a shofar be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it?" And one of the powerful texts on this matter is Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. "The great day of the Lord is near," it says, "and that day is a day of the shofar, an alarm against the fenced cities and the high towers." That's number one. Number two, it urges the rejoicing of God's people. I love this. In Psalm 81, 1 to 4, "Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm, bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the shofar in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the God of Jacob." Also in Psalm 89, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound." And what is that? It is the blowing of the shofar. Number three, and praise the Lord for this, it announces the return of the Messiah. Every time that shofar is blown in our messianic fellowships, our hearts are immediately thinking, "I wonder if this is the day." Zechariah 9, verses 14 to 17 are incredible. And the Lord makes it very clear. And here's an interesting thing. He blows the shofar. The Bible says the Lord God shall blow the shofar. And he mentions who he's blowing it for. And that's the Lord of hosts, Sabaoth, not Shabbat, but Sabaoth in Hebrew, is referring to armies. The Father does not have the armies. He's given that to His Son. The Lord of hosts is used 245 times, and He is our Messiah, our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen?
Amen.
And I should have brought a shofar and blow it and see how excited you would become. Amen. Number four, it speaks of the redemption of God's people. Oh, how I love to talk about this. We're going to do it briefly, of course. But in Leviticus 23, verses 26 to 32, God spoke to Moses and told him, "You shall afflict your souls," a term used for fasting, "and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Wow. "It's a statute forever," he said. When that wonderful shofar is blown, we are reminded that God's never forsaken Israel. Amen? In one of our conferences last year, I chose the theme, "Israel is forever." And I got a call from a pastor well known for his replacement theology views. He said, "David, you made a big mistake. You may want Israel to be forever, but you said the title is Israel is forever. Do you want to change that?" I said, "Of course not. I want to stick with the Bible." See, God gave an everlasting covenant. Now, if it was canceled, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? If it's everlasting, it's never going to end. The people of Israel, the nation of Israel, that is going to be forever. Aren't you glad you're at a conference that honors it?
Amen.
Praise be to the Lord. Well, there's also in Leviticus 23 some special remarks about blowing the shofar on that day of Jubilee. All the captives will be set free. Number five, it speaks and declares of the restoration of worship in Jerusalem, I know a lot of people are confused about worship. By the way, I wrote a booklet this past year. I've been writing a lot of booklets on special subjects that people tell me about. I don't think people read as much as they used to. And so they love those booklets, and they're cheaper, and they have really sold well. Well, one that we wrote has caused a lot of controversy. All I did is trace the subject of worship. Worship. Why, the very meaning of the Hebrew word is to bow down. Don't you find it kind of fascinating that Catholics do that in their services, but not too many evangelicals get on their knees? Come, let us worship and bow down. Amen? May God help us to understand the worship of the Lord. I love to hear songs about Him. I'm quite uncomfortable when the songs deal with us. We don't come to church to worship us. We come to worship Him who deserves all the glory and praise forever. Praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Let it rip. You're a little quiet. I know you just got up. But I believe in letting it rip. The Lord didn't say, "I want you to give a holy whisper this morning in praise of my name." He didn't say that. He said, "Make a joyful shout unto the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. How about this one? Number six. Number six, it emphasizes the resurrection of God's people. One of my favorite passages in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13. it shall come to pass in that day. That's an eschatological phrase if I ever read one. Usually referring to the day of the Lord, which is used 25 times. It shall come to pass in that day that the great shofar shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, in the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and here it is, shall worship the Lord in the holy mount in Jerusalem. Get used to it. A pastor told me he's not real comfortable taking a tour group to Israel. He said, haven't you found the same? I said, absolutely not. I can hardly wait to go back. Last year, I finished trip number 50 to Israel. And in February, it'll be trip number 51. And I love to go to Israel. I love to see what God is going to change soon, like the traffic in Jerusalem. As we know, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, we're going to be changed in a moment of time. The word is atom. The twinkling of an eye at the last shofar. For the shofar shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's not last and final, like no more. Because we have the shofar being blown in the millennial kingdom of our Lord. But it does honor the resurrection. And most of us here know 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. You say, you have that memorized. Yes, I did. When my father came to know the Lord, I mean, everything changed. Everything changed. And we had in the lobby of our home where I grew up, beautiful old English calligraphy. We still have a few of those that are in my Hope for Today office today. And one of them that I loved as a little boy, watching people's expression when they came in the door. Because there, staring them in the face, were the words of 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Some people couldn't wait to get out of that house. Yeah, the Lord's going to come. That's what the Bible says. And by the way, it'll be the voice of the archangel. There's not six of them. There's not three of them. There's only one. Michael, who stands up for his people Israel. And he will blow the shofar, and the dead in Christ will rise. Amen? And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. One of the sweet things about knowing the original language is that there's no verbal infinitive there, to meet. It is a noun. It is unto the meeting of the Lord. It's talking about a meeting, a great reunion that he has planned for all of us. How many of you have loved ones already in heaven? Look at that, all over the audience. What a day that's going to be. And that shofar will be blown. Praise the Lord. And one last thing. It proclaims the reign of the Messiah over all the earth. Revelation 11:15 tells us that the seventh angel sounded his shofar, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. To God be all the glory and all the praise. Have a wonderful day. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can begin this day by hearing from your word that the shofar will be blown soon. We are anticipating meeting our loved ones, the meeting that you have planned, your son has made ready for us. Father, we come to worship you. May this day be filled with worship in our hearts, our focus being upon you, Lord. and your Son, our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. How we thank you, we praise you, we love you. To God be all the glory, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day today.